Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, thanks for tuning in with Dr. Pat Allen on the air, Empowered Communications. Last week we talked about male archetypes, and this week we're going to continue that conversation with respect to female archetypes. Dr. Allen, you're on the air.
Yes, and thank heavens I'm here. I love talking on the radio. I love listening to the radio. Archetypes are to the soul what DNA is to the body. Everybody has archetypes, images. And I particularly like Robert Johnson's books, three of them, He, She, and We. And so what I wanted to share with you and the audience is, what exactly is an archetype? It is, like I said, it is like the DNA is for the body, which determines our sexuality, you know, the color of our skin, what it is that makes us who we are. But archetypes are images that are imprinted on the spirit of man. And the ones I like that are in the book She by Robert Johnson are the Madonna in Spiritus. Now, the Madonna in Spiritus is interesting. Irene Castillejo wrote a book all about her, which is the Madonna in Spiritus. It is the part of a person who is very sensitive and feminine, has a lot of yin energy. It could be a man, and it's often the monk. And it could be a woman who's often a nun. And that particular archetype, Madonna in Spiritus, or the Black Madonna, and the wonderful book by Ian Begg, B-E-G-G, printed in England, is The Cult of the Black Virgins. And that archetype is the spiritual one, the moral one. That archetype is the one that says, it's not right. Don't do that. In every Italian movie, they have a Madonna in Spiritus. She's a little old widow in a black dress, and she says, you better not do that. God's going to get you. You know? And so the Madonna in Spiritus is the one that sets the spiritual standards of morality, ethics, moral, ethical, legal behavior. So if a man or a woman in that, she's also called the crone.
Oh, the crone, okay.
The crone.
So the wise one.
Yeah. So the crone is the mature woman who basically is using her Madonna in Spiritus archetype to basically wisely inform people what she's learned through her life and to warn them not to cross certain barriers. So the Black Madonna or the Madonna in Spiritus or the crone is one archetype which often very sensitive spiritual people, men or women, and mature, very mature women are crones.
Who gravitates toward that archetype? Who meshes with that?
That particular archetype generally messes with you. So it gets in your face. It's the nun one. It's the one that says, what you're doing is wrong. Mother Teresa was an example.
They would more likely have a follower than a mate.
Oh, yeah. No. I don't think of them as particularly marriageable.
Right.
Do you see? They often are business partners with philanthropists, males, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So she is a very powerful spiritual creature.
Okay, that's interesting. So
yeah,
they're really almost like a standalone human, like a nun would be, somebody who really wasn't mated with anybody. Same, like with
well, she may have been other archetypes when she was younger.
So she might morph into that.
Or like in the Catholic Church, the little flower was a black Madonna. She died at 24 of TB, but she wrote, you know, a book about her spiritual feelings that still vibrate through the history of the Catholic Church anyway.
Right.
So that's the Madonna in Spiritus, the Black Madonna, or in generic terms, the crone.
Right.
Then there's the playgirl, courtesan.
Oh, yes.
Hatare.
Oh, okay.
These are all the words for her. She is a very sensual, very sexual woman, or the part of a woman that is sensual and sexual, that basically, if she's balanced and she has her Black Madonna, that will keep her in line.
Okay.
But if she uses mind-altering chemicals in her hedonistic runarounds, she's often a binger. She's often an alcoholic, very often a sugar addict. Sugar is a mind-altering chemical.
Right.
And when women use sugar, glucose foods, what happens is they tend to dull their feelings of fear, risk, danger, and they take risks that they wouldn't do if they were totally sober.
So what do you mean by risks? Sexual
risks? Sexual risks, neglectful mothers. I think not too long ago, a mother left her children at home, and they burnt in the fire while
right,
she
right.
was partying.
Okay.
I saw that on Nancy Grace's show.
Right.
So the Hatari, the courtesan, the playgirl, is a very playful, sensual, sexual woman who is often subject
now,
to
binging.
Now,
if you were going to compare her to the male archetype, would she be the equivalent of a Peter Pan?
Yes, she would be the playgirl.
Right. He's the playboy, she's the playgirl.
Yeah, she's... Those are matching, playboy, playgirl.
Right.
They're very much into hedonism. Tastes good, touch good, smell good, sound good, look good.
If it feels good, do it. Right,
know.
Okay.
So that's our playgirl, playboy. But we're talking about the playgirl right now. Then we have an interesting woman who likes playboys, Wendy.
Wendy, yes.
Now, Wendy is a girl that believes that nurturing is feminine.
Okay, but we know that nurturing is not.
Is masculine. Do you see?
Yeah, because it's a protective role.
Right. When a man is nurturing, he's incorporated his feminine into his personality, and he's a gentleman. That's where the word gentleman comes from.
Which is literally gentle
man. Gentle man.
Right.
When a woman is grounded in her Madonna in Spiritus, because women, more often than not, are very yin energy.
Right.
Our chemistry, our estrogen, our big corpus callosum allows us to blend our thoughts and feelings quite a bit.
Right.
And for men to blend their feminine and masculine, for example, left-handed men have large corpus callosums. Biologically gay men whose mothers didn't give them enough androgen to turn them totally into men, because we're all female to start with
right.
for at least 8 weeks in pregnancy.
Right.
So these are people who are very susceptible to the Black Madonna, and that basically works against or with the Playboy and the Playgirl in order to say, no, don't do that. That's not good. When a man is on mind-altering chemicals, he knocks out his intuition and his logic.
Right.
And he tends to binge on his feelings. Do you see?
Yeah.
So he absolutely loves Wendy.
Okay, so what... Okay, so Wendy, I come across a lot of Wendy's. I have a lot of girlfriends, and they talk to me, and I'm looking at them, and I'm going, wow, Wendy, are you going to sew Peter Pan's shadow back on his heels for him? And they do, and they keep repeating the same thing. They swear they want to change, but boy, it's Peter Pan again.
They love feminine men, do you see?
Right.
So that's a combination that goes together. And then we have, for women, well, this is the Claw Woman.
Oh, yes. Tell me about the Claw Woman.
And the Claw Woman is a very, she's the woman that will use her sexuality to seduce a sugar daddy into taking care of her life, her apartment, her everything.
Right.
And she will do everything she can to steal another woman's man.
Why is that? What is that? Nobody let her play with her toys when she was young? I mean, where does
that
come from?
No, usually she was not cherished by her father.
Okay.
She's become a really strong person. She's not necessarily an Amazon. An Amazon is very often money, power, and prestige.
Okay.
That archetype. So she's a woman that uses her sexuality.
Her feminine
to
wiles.
To get sugar daddies to take care of her.
Okay.
And that could be somebody's husband.
Yeah.
Do you see?
I think it's often
and
somebody's
remember,
husband.
When a man gets to 45 to 50, his testosterone goes down, and the estrogen that's in his body makes him very susceptible to bonding to a sexually generous woman, which the Claw Woman is very generous to start with.
Sexually.
Sexually.
And then there's a turning point at some
place. Well, eventually, once she gets the man hooked, then she starts saying things like, you can't buy me, because she knows he's bonded to her.
Right.
You see, young women, premenopausal women, and postandropause men are very, very bondable. That's glue.
I want to talk about, you talked a little bit about the real man. So,
yeah. What's a real woman?
What's a real woman?
A real woman has that archetype, which is the Madonna in Spiritus, that stops her from being too cheaply sexual, stops her from being Wendy, taking care of dependent men, stops her from stealing another woman's man. Do you see?
So it would be a really brilliant blend of all of those types
all
together.
All of the things. Yeah, well, you see, the mother archetype, which is, you know, Wendy gone.
Right.
Mother archetype, the playgirl archetype, the claw woman. All of these are under the direction of that Madonna in Spiritus yin energy that says, don't do that. It's virtue. But when a woman is on mind-altering chemicals, sugar, drugs, alcohol, she knocks out her Madonna in Spiritus, and therefore she ends up a Wendy, a Playgirl, a Claw Woman. Do you see? But rarely can she be a lady. Rarely can she be a virtuous woman.
Is it ever possible that part of the mind-altering chemical is actually the man that she's bonded to?
Yeah, the oxytocin that she is bonded to. Oxytocin is a chemical that we produce when we're near someone whose DNA triggers our DNA into sexual responses. You see?
Is that ever... Okay, I understand. For instance, pheromones and things like that.
Attraction, that's how it's exchanged, pheromones.
Is that a purely physiological situation, or is it also mental with respect
to...
No,
it impacts the mental. In other words, I know there are women listening that have known that they're with the wrong man, but their body wants him anyway.
Right.
And it's addiction. It is very addictive, oxytocin.
So if we recognize in ourselves that we're either the Claw or the Wendy, how do we get to be a real woman? How do we meld and mesh these things together?
You learn about it. Teresa Crenshaw has a wonderful book. She's dead now, but her book is The Chemistry, The Alchemy of Love and Lust.
Okay.
It is like Grey's Anatomy for chemistry.
Okay.
Dr. Teresa Crenshaw.
And so she explains the phenomenon of...
She explains oxytocin and all the different chemistries that bond us to somebody that may not be right for us, whose archetypes are not healthy.
So what makes my girlfriends repeatedly pick Peter Pan?
Because that feels like love. Do you see... There's another chemistry that we produce. We produce dopamine sexually,
right,
and dopamine when we buy and get money and treats and all that. But when we are raised improperly, this is a very sad new piece of information I've learned, that if you've had a really rugged childhood, your body ages. You get too sexual too soon. You get too much energy going through. And because of that, you age prematurely. So people who basically do not have the opportunity to be raised in a balanced way, where they are taught good from bad, evil from good, and the archetypes in their nature are not supported by the people who raise them, they become addicted.
I see. Now, you talked about boys 10 years old and their kingfisher wound, right?
Yeah.
What is the equivalent of that for a female child? You were saying
for
8
female,
years old.
For a female, we have a sign instantly. When we have our first periods, we go from girl to woman. And what's really interesting about that is the stabilization of the chemistry at starting our menses, our cycles, is very, very good for our being able to be good women. If we are sexually abused before our first period, the brain goes into some form of destruction, which makes it extremely horny. Too many dopamine receptors. So it's like a cocaine fix.
Okay. So the dopamine receptors, you can gain more of them?
If you're sexually stimulated before your first period.
Okay.
When I work with women that come into my office and they say, I just am too casual sexually. A guy turns me on and I have intercourse with him. And what's wrong with me? And I ask the following question. Were you sexually stimulated or molested before your first period? And if they say yes, I say, then your brain is damaged. And you must never, ever have casual sex. Because you are driven to addiction.
Right. So the addiction portion of that, I mean, you know, when you're an addict and you go through addiction, you typically would avoid, but how do you avoid, you know?
It isn't that you avoid. What I say is, don't have casual sex. Be sure you're in a monogamous, continuous, marriage-bound or mated relationship, and if possible, get a signal ring for going steady or a promise ring. so that you can look at your hand and know that you have promised to be monogamous, continuous, and long-term in your relationship.
Yeah, and I've had a few of my girlfriends say, well, I feel like I tried that whole thing and not doing anything until I had the promise ring or whatever, and I think he's just going to go away and find somebody who will.
You know what? I guarantee it. But the problem here is, if you submit to casual sex and you've been sensually stimulated too early, you can ruin your marriages, you can ruin your life, you can become very addicted to mind-altering chemicals as a way to comfort yourself.
Now, you're talking about intercourse with...
I'm talking about sexual stimulation.
Okay.
For little girls.
Oh, for
before
little girls,
their
right.
First, yeah.
Okay, once, so for a grown woman that says that she's too sexually active, and you're
too casually sexually. It isn't, it's not that you know, it's that you're doing... You're having intercourse, or you're imbibing in sexual play that's going nowhere but sex.
So premature, or just like you said, the hookup.
Yeah, the hookup sex. You know, your place or mine.
But they're still bondable in that respect.
They're bondable, but the problem is they're bondable from one to another to another.
Right.
And these are women who go from one... non-negotiable man to another one.
Right.
And that gets to be very, very destructive.
Right.
Do you see? There's a wonderful book by Linda Leonard, and it's called Wounded Woman. And this is a book about the impact of an unprotective, uncherishing father, who basically is probably a Peter Pan or an alcoholic, whatever, playboy. And what happens is she has to father herself, and that is too much of a job,
right,
for a little girl.
Right,
so
it's damaging.
That's when she starts molding into someone who is addiction prone.
Okay, well, I'm thinking we're going to have callers calling in, so I'm going to take these email questions first before we get our callers calling in. And callers, you can start calling anytime.
Okay.
Okay, the first email question is, with respect to the archetypes, how do you know which one you are? And this is from a female, Carrie, 19 years old.
You can tell by the behavior. For example, the Amazon is very, very money prone. The Amazon wants money, power and prestige, career woman.
Okay.
The playgirl basically wants to have fun and loves to have men who basically entertain her, spoil her, gift her. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
The mother archetype, Wendy.
Right.
She basically absolutely loves nurturing needy men.
Right.
And... the claw woman is a danger to every woman on the planet because she's after the best guys, but on the side.
Right. Whether or not they're taken.
Your behavior demonstrates what archetypes are in control.
Right.
And the Madonna in Spiritus and the Black Madonna, that archetype is... if it's really the major archetype, a nun.
Right.
A Mother Teresa.
And like you say, nun means none.
Yeah, nun, N-O-N-E.
Right.
But she likes it that way. God love her, you know.
Okay, so Deborah has a question. How do I know who I'm picking? I think I'm picking the real man, but he ends up being a Peter Pan.
That means that you were a Wendy and you gave him premature sex. I can almost guarantee it.
Okay.
What I guarantee is that you were afraid he'd run away if you didn't put out. And so you put out and you got bonded and he took advantage.
We've got a call. Hello, caller. Welcome. You have a question?
Hello?
Hi.
Yes, I do. When Pat starts talking, I always have a million questions, but I'm going to stick to my initial question, which is, Pat once said, like 2 weeks ago, that if there are sex problems with the man, then there are money problems with the man.
Mm-hmm.
In as far as the husband goes or the boyfriend, what is? Could she explain that in more practical terms? Like, how does that show up in a relationship?
Well, if the man is not faithful, the women will often comfort themselves by buying things. Do you see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If the woman is unfaithful to a man, I can guarantee you he'll start hiding his money.
Uh-huh.
Because he's getting ready for a divorce.
Pornography. Does pornography qualify for that?
Pornography is a man's way of pulling away sexually, you see, or binging in a way that doesn't, well, if it doesn't interfere with his generosity, I'm afraid men use their eyes for sexual stimulation. And while I don't particularly approve of it around houses with kids in it, it's kind of a standard hobby for many, many men. If he's still able to make love and please you, then looking at magazines is not the worst thing on the planet. If, however, he's not making love to his wife and he's seducing women based on what he's looking at in magazines, he's on the prowl, he's unfaithful, that is strictly a sexual pornographic problem. When I say that where you have money problems, you will have sex problems, I mean that if a man doesn't make or keep, he's a gambler, his wife is not going to be too thrilled with making love with him. And if a woman is unfaithful, a man is very, very tempted to not provide for her. So it goes together. Money and sex are two dopamine producers that pretty much react to each other.
Well, what if there's no unfaithfulness, but he is stingy?
He's stingy. Look to his mother and dad for that one, because that may be the way he was raised.
He got the job too soon, you said.
Oh, he
his
got...
His mother didn't cut him off at 10 years old, and he was emotionally
married
husband.
To her. That's an unresolved Oedipal complex. So he and his mother were business partners. And so he runs his money as if he's a husband, even when his mother, you know, is not his wife. So it's part of the training. And when you raise a child, you show them how to handle money.
Where's his father? You said he got the job too soon. Where's his father?
Well, Pat said that he got the job too soon, meaning that he had to take care of his mother too soon.
You see, he had
but
to marry the mother.
His father was too strict. His father was very harsh.
I see.
Well,
and the mother overcompensated by being too nurturing.
Well, that sounds like a normal screwed-up family. That's what they do. They mishandle money and sex.
So when you say stingy... Yeah. Can you explain a little bit what you mean by stingy? I mean, is he just say, we're going to share a Coke, you're not getting your own?
Well, I think it's just very protective of the money and like fearful about
running out of money.
Not wanting to share decision-making in the extreme and not wanting to share business decisions or not even wanting to budget together.
Well, it sounds like being married to his mother before he married you or somebody trained him to that he had to monitor because he had to raise himself in to a great deal to an extent. So bad habits, you know, beware of your thoughts for they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny at the bank, making money, in the doctor's office, being healthy, and in every single relationship, especially the sexual ones.
Right.
So do you find his stinginess turns you off with respect to your sexuality? Do you find that you don't want to?
No, Pat's worked with me on that previously, so I don't take it personally anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So Pat's brought me to a place where I don't take it personally, and I just let him lead the way he wants to lead.
As long as he's moral, ethical, and legal.
Exactly.
Good.
So, but also when most of the women in this culture have been brought up with, or a lot of the women have been brought up with a wounded father, an alcoholic, but not necessarily molested as children.
Yes. But the women had to be their own fathers.
So the women need to learn how to be their own fathers.
That's when the women start running the show.
That's
and the only men that can be with a powerful woman of that type are very feminine men.
But women have to parent themselves because if they were wounded at children.
I know that. That's the reason that powerful, Wendy type mother figures go with Peter Pans.
They're compelled
so
to.
How do you heal as a wounded woman but stay feminine?
You decide you're not going to give, protect, and cherish anyone over the age of 10, especially boys, unless you get what you need and want first. And what is it you need? You need to be heard. You need to be known. You need to be cherished for your feelings. If you're not, then what you're going to do is set up barriers and walls which manifest your wound. And then you end up usually alone.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Okay. Bye.
Stay with us. All right, Dr. Allen, we have another email question, and it is from a gentleman who is Will. He's 51 years old. And his wife is right around the same age.
Okay.
Apparently, for the last 2 years, there's been a major shift in the relationship.
Right.
She is earning more than he does. The sexuality is broken down between them, the sexual relationship. And it's just arguing and fighting. Unless mm-hmm. she gets her way, it's on the couch. He wants to know why. Women always have to get their way. Why is there no compromise? Or is it just the breakdown of this relationship? They've been married 17 years.
The problem here is as much biochemical. Between the ages of 45 and 50, I refer to that. Midlife crisis is a biochemical event as well.
Right.
As the testosterone goes down in a man and the progesterone goes up, in effect in a woman, she very often, it's noted now that there are more women doing executive things and career things after in their 40s and into their 50s, and that men are starting to like the idea of being homemakers and not working as hard. So nature is stepping in. We're living long enough that we both get to be both men and women in our lifetimes.
Right.
But the problem is that if you don't know my techniques, androgynous semantic realignment, which is my doctoral work, that particular technique is, I think, how do you feel? What can I do to help us feel better? I don't feel very good. What do you think? And what can I do to help us do better? When you do, I think, I want, I feel bad, I don't want. I make money. Divorce attorneys make money. and people end up alone.
Right.
Equal communication is stupendous in the workforce, where everybody's working to make a living. Everybody's male at work. There are no females at work.
Right.
After work, now you can be sexless, loveless friends. What do you feel like doing? I don't know. What do you feel like doing? Let's flip a coin. That's friendship.
Right.
But when you're loving or sexual, you know, loving is brothers, sisters, fathers, family.
Right.
When you're romantically involved, it is imperative that you do not speak equally.
Right.
You must waltz. I need a Fred Astaire and a Ginger Rogers. They can change roles. When a female wants to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question, all she's got to do is get permission. Honey, I have an idea about something. When would it be convenient for you to listen to me? Hopefully today.
Right.
Or when he wants to say something that's painful and critical, he'd have to say, darling, I have something to say that might be painful. When would you be most comfortable today to hear me?
Right.
Complementary cross transactions enhance the waltz of love. Equal communication is combative and
it's
will
business.
Destroy intimacy.
Right.
And I strongly recommend my book, Getting to I Do, which has been on the stands for 20 plus years.
And I think I would recommend your DVD on compatibility, which is at our website, www.wantistore.com, or you can find that at www.drpatallen.com. Let me ask you this, Dr. Allen.
What?
Typically, it was, well, he's having a midlife crisis.
That's the biochemical, psychological, sexual, financial changes that are going on in a relationship.
But we rarely hear people say about women, oh, she's having a midlife crisis. But I'm hearing that more, you know, that she's out wanting to buy the Porsche and, you know.
I know, but women become men between 45 and 50. Their chemistry changes. The effect of estrogen goes down, and the effect of the progesterone, our version of testosterone, goes up.
So that happens when you're peri and post or menopausal?
Yes, right.
So we typically don't, you know, obviously with women, you physically know that a woman is peri or post menopausal. How do you know that with a man? We know his hormones are changing. What do we look for?
What you look for in a man is that he's doing what he feels like doing, good or bad.
Okay.
Do you see? And he's not paying attention to his women in their Madonna and Spiritus. Honey, I can't put up with this. You're wasting money. You're screwing around. I'm going to have to divorce you if you don't stop.
Well, that's an interesting topic that you bring up, because he is, the rest of his post says, I've asked her to go to counseling. I've asked her repeatedly to go to counseling. I've been married to her 17 years.
Yes.
And she absolutely adamantly refuses. She
that's right.
wants to end the relationship. He doesn't feel like he wants to.
Wants what?
He doesn't want to end the relationship. She does.
Please do not do anything. Don't file for divorce. Don't agree. I have a couple that she wants the divorce, but she doesn't want to tell the kids she wants the divorce.
Oh, no. They've told the kids she wants the divorce, that she told them.
Okay. But did she file? Did she take the action? People talk a good, bad show, but they sometimes don't follow through with the paperwork.
Right. No, actually, he doesn't say anything about filing in the post.
No.
Right.
I do not advise anybody who doesn't want a divorce to be stampeded into getting a divorce.
How do you, if the person you're with just absolutely refuses to go to any type of counseling, what do you do then?
Decide whether you want a divorce or not. And I recommend stay till you can't stay. And when you can't stay, it's because there's violence or you're getting physically ill.
Okay, and you also talked about the level of pain. If you're still in pain, you're not finished.
No, because when you're really, really done, you're apathetic, you're empathetic, and you're bored stupid when you fall out of love. You can't even get mad anymore.
Right.
I say stay till you can't stay because it's violent, boring.
Right.
Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Or you're getting sick being around him or her.
Him or her, right.
Yeah.
And so getting sick being around them, what do you mean? How do you get sick being around somebody?
A systematic. The autoimmune problems are very significant. When your body turns against itself, there's a wonderful book, and it's called When the Body Says No.
Oh, really?
Yeah, by Gabor Maté, Dr. Gabor Maté, M-A-T-E, umlaut. It's called Before You Jump Onto Your Medicine, See What Your Body Is Saying. Go to, Louise Hayes has a wonderful book, Healing Your Life. And in there, she puts in ideas that goes with, like, what are skin psoriasis problems saying? It's saying, go away. Well, what are you saying go away to? Do you see?
Right, right.
The body is talking.
So the body's talking, but we don't always understand what it's saying. In other words, if your hair is falling out, but it's stress.
It's called stress.
Right, right. So the body's reaction to the stress will manifest in some
way. Yeah, totally. Then if a woman comes in with body signals, I say, what is it you don't want? We can accept things, we can reject things, but if we tolerate them, we produce the death-dealing cortisol that destroys our immune system, destroys our T cells, strips our myelin off of our nervous system, so we're raw nerves.
So we're ending up with fibromyalgia.
Yes, we're ending up with anything of a chronic day, and it's cancer training. Overgiving women and undergiving men. When a man does not, when he's selfish,
right,
he has to use energy to hold back his generous energy.
Oh, okay.
And that is disease producing.
So it doesn't flow, so it's stopped up and it just.
Yeah, it totally.
It festers.
Yeah, and now Norman Doidge, darling man, who did The Brain That Changes Itself, has a new book, The Healing Brain.
Oh, now I have a question about that.
Brand new book.
Today on the internet, I was privy to see some imaging, some brain imaging.
Yes.
Of children
yes.
who were abused.
I know.
And they are identifying things in their brains.
PTSD.
Yes.
I told you about this at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
When I said that abused children are aging prematurely.
It was amazing to see those images, those MRI images.
Daniel Amons is noted, and he's written a book, Sex on the Brain.
Yeah.
You see, The Healing Brain. He's a pro when it comes to brain spectrographs, and finding out what's going on. And I truly, truly like that science.
You also are famous for a quote, which is what you touched on a little bit before, accept, reject.
Don't tolerate.
Do not tolerate.
Tolerate produces so many bad chemicals that it will destroy you.
It will. I think I really agree with that. We have another question. This is kind of sad.
What is it?
My husband left. He had gotten another woman pregnant and waited to leave me until the woman was 6 months pregnant. He wiped me out and left me bitter and raw. I don't know how to claw my way back from where I'm at. What do I do? I don't like men anymore. I don't like the other option of women, but I'm not sure I want to be alone, but I don't think I can be with anybody. What do I do? How do I fix myself?
Well, there are groups created. Hospitals have grief groups. There are stress groups. I have a group in Orange County on Wednesday night at the Community Center in Costa Mesa.
Right.
I have a group in L.A.
Monday night.
At the Odyssey Theater. Find a group. You know, if you want to be stoic, I love Marcus Aurelius and the spiritual teachings.
Yes.
Edited by Forstater. Anyway, if you want to be a hedonist, you got to do four things. Number one, you got to be in a group of people that are stoic.
Okay.
That are doing the right thing. They're paying attention to that Black Madonna in Spiritus. Okay? The second thing you've got to do is don't engage hedonists in a war. They can lie, they can cheat, they can steal, they can be violent. Don't engage them.
Okay.
Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Then another way of dealing stoically is basically to not follow your hedonistic whims and wills. Hedonism is, I want something pleasurable right now. Give
right.
me some pills. Give me some sugar. Give me some whatever.
So the pleasure principle.
Yeah, the pleasure principle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
And if you do these sorts of things, you discipline yourself to doing what's right in spite of pain. You will come to know that nature wants us all to survive. Nature is merciful, but we have to work with nature.
Right.
Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we go against it, then I'm afraid we're attracting. 90% of all illness is misused energy.
Right. Okay.
When women get sick, I ask them, what is it they don't want and need to get rid of? And when men get sick, I say, what is it you want and don't have the guts to go after?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And do they come to a conclusion? Do they come to a place where they know what the issue is?
Yes, they come to that place, but very often they're not willing to do the work.
So they don't get the result because they don't do the work.
If you don't do it, this is what spiritual educators, you know, your religious figures, that's
mm-hmm.
what they're teaching, you
right.
see?
Yeah.
That's what therapists are doing.
Right.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
And sane friends are good demonstrator models.
Right.
If you know somebody. But you have to form a unit. Do you see?
Or a
you
group,
can't
a
deal
friendship.
With hedonists alone.
No. No, I don't
They're
think
so
either.
They're too rugged. Right.
Okay, we have another email. I am an alpha woman. I'm strong. I'm powerful. And I like my life. And I like my lover. He's an alpha, too. But the problem is that we seem to escalate in our arguments with each other. I know you have the tools.
Well,
I
what
want
they're
him,
doing...
I want him to use them, too. How do I approach him?
If you use them, he can't do otherwise. See, if one person uses the tools, and for a woman... Don't ask him what he feels. Ask him what
he thinks. Right.
Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
When he asks you what you think, tell him what you feel.
Right.
Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
When he irritates you, if you don't have to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer, make him right. You had a right to say that, honey. You had a right to do that. You had a right to feel that. But I'm uncomfortable with it.
Right.
But I'm going to accept you. Because it wasn't immoral, unethical, or illegal. You
right.
see? Now, when you want to present an idea, please respect him and get permission before you do so. Make an appointment with him.
Okay? Just like business.
Now, 90% of all communication is not verbal. It's tones of voice, gestures, postures, facial expressions. But you can't negotiate with those.
Right.
The best you can do is, honey, I sense from the look on your face that you're upset. Am I right? Yes. When would it be convenient for you to talk to me about it? Today, hopefully.
Right.
And what can I do to help us do better? Or, I believe by your body language, your gesturing, your tones of voice. Am I right? No, you're not right. I'm just not feeling well. Okay, if you're ever upset, feel free to bring it up. And then watch how fast I am upset. Because you picked it up in their body language.
Right.
Okay. Then there's another one. I sense, I think, I believe by the tone of your voice, the look on your face, your body language. Am I right? No answer at all.
Right.
That's passive aggressive. There's a wonderful book by Scott Wetzler, Living with a Passive Aggressive Man. That could be a woman.
Right.
And that is, this is what I say then. You have every right not to say yes or no, but a non-answer in my world is a negative answer. So what can I do to help us do better? Or if it's to a woman who's also a man, what can I do to help us feel better?
Fantastic. Dr. Allen, we're already out of time. That went fast. What have you got to say to us tonight before we close?
What I've got to say is the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Find us on Facebook or visit us at www.drpatallen.com. And find our products at www.wanteyestore.com. Thanks for tuning in. See you next week.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.